Good morning, Chelveston, Caldicott and Chelston Rise. It's Thursday the 16th of April, and this is Adrian Dale with the daily briefing for the village. Now, I've spoken a lot about the extraordinary acts of kindness and generosity that we've seen in this village during the emergency so far. And we've talked about the community spirit and the community deeds that have been done. However, I might have misled you into thinking that this was only being done as a direct result of the crisis we face right now. Well, nothing could be further from the truth. Although each act is important and unique, they're all part of a bigger pattern that has characterised this village for years. Actually, no, for generations. I was reminded of this by an email from Peggy, one of our church wardens. She enjoyed listening about Noel Morris and was reminded of her experience as a newbie in the village many years ago. She'd stopped to buy runner beans on the Rawns Road from a stall at the side of the road, and she met Noel and Janet Morris for the first time. They were so welcoming to her and became an invaluable source of information and assistance for Peggy's new life as a villager. Their friendship endured until they died. But it goes back further than that. In the Second World War, we played host to hundreds of American airmen stationed on the airbase, and the village took them into their hearts and their homes. Horace's father was a steward at the Working Men's Club on Foot Lane, where Alan and Lynn now live. And many of the airmen used to drink there. On a Sunday afternoon, Sunday lunchtime effectively, near closing time, Horace, who was just a nipper at the time, was sent down to the club to count how many Yanks were still drinking there. And yes, they liked that name. So Horace's mom then plated out a roast dinner for every airman still drinking. The older kids would carry the plates down to the club, and the Yanks would eat their lunch in the committee room upstairs. For some of those lads, it was the last meal they would ever eat before flying off to die on our behalf. But when you think about it, there was rationing then, and yet Horace's mother was still prepared to share her family's food. But it goes back further than that. In 1864, Henry Wise, the then Lord of the Manor, provided land and materials to build a new school for the village and a dwelling for the schoolmaster. You'll know these buildings today as the village hall and the schoolhouse. That school continued to educate the children of this parish until 1969. But it goes back further than that. In 1760, the Sisters of the Lord of the Manor provided an endowment and land to fund a school for the children of the village. This school was on Rawns Road, where Sean and Janellen's house is now, on Sawyer's Crescent. Their educational foundation is still in existence today, 260 years later. The trustees own and maintain the village hall and the schoolhouse, and they subsidise educational classes and meetings that enrich the lives of residents in the village. But it goes back even further than that. During their lifetimes in the 1600s, James Sawyer and his son Thomas erected almshouses on the sloping green between Water Lane and Rawns Road, with the land that extended into what is now Sawyer's Crescent. They were for widows of the parishes of Rawns and Chelveston. Their charity also still exists today, and the trustees quietly support hardship cases in Rawns and Chelveston every year. So you see, through our long history, good deeds and charitable acts and community giving have been at the heart of who we are as a village. But to bring it back to the present day, many of you will remember Michael and Christine Fulger. They moved to the village in 1968 and spent the next 41 years of their lives giving their time and money to support the various institutions of the village. The village hall, the church, the parish council, and the Women's Institute. Without them, some of these institutions would have folded. Now, they had no immediate family, and during their final illnesses, it was the people of Caldicott that looked after them. When Michael died in 2015, he left the bulk of his estate to this parish. That was nearly £500,000, the biggest act of generosity this village has ever seen. Mark Hunter and I were privileged to be the executors of Michael's will, and we set up the Michael and Christine Fulger Charitable Trust to ensure their names live on forever. This trust is set up to fund projects that will enrich the lives of residents for years to come. The trust paid for the refurbishment of School House, at the end of Caldecott Road to create a beautiful setting for our heritage buildings at the entrance to the village. It paid for one of the mowers that I now use every day to keep the village tidy. But the biggest project was a grant of £40,000 for the new path and driveway to the church. Mike would have loved that one. For Christine's funeral, I had to push Michael all the way down the church driveway in his wheelchair. It was very bumpy and very painful for him. He might once have been church warden and a religious man, but his voice could be heard by everyone. Bloody hell, that hurts. Why doesn't somebody do something about this drive? Well, Michael, you did, just 5 years after you died. So you see, folks, today's acts of generosity and kindness, today's charitable and community deeds, are actually building on the shoulders of giants. They're all part of a very long tradition in this parish, and to see the resurgence again in this whole spirit is truly heartwarming. Of course, in doing our good deeds, we must keep one eye on that killer virus. Nothing we do should allow it back into the village. So keep your wits about you, folks. Take no risks and stay safe. Thank you.